In the age of instant communication, our interactions are so often reduced to tweets and texts, which means a handwritten letter holds a special kind of mystique. You can hold it in your hand, tuck it in a pocket, pull it out, and read it over and over. That's even more true for letters written in a time of war. Those pages seeped with longing and loss, no matter the century or the enemy. Historian Andrew Carroll has been collecting correspondence from American wars going back as far as 1776. He now has more than 100,000 of these letters, which he'll donate to the Center for American War Letters at Chapman University. We reached Andrew Carroll in California, and I asked him how this whole project got started.
My sophomore year of college, my father's house in Washington, D.C. burned down. You know, losing that family memorabilia, all the letters, the photos, which are obviously irreplaceable, was really traumatic. And not long after the fire, a distant cousin of ours who had served in World War II was checking in just to see how we were doing. And he said, you know, I've just been going through my old World War II letters, and I came across something I want to send to you. And I received in the mail this thin onion skin paper. It was the original letter dated from April 1945. And he was describing to his wife, he was only 23 years old at the time, the concentration camp Buchenwald, which he had just visited after he was liberated. And it's this incredibly powerful letter. And I called back. I said, Jim, I really appreciate your sharing with us. I'll send it back to you. He said, you know what? Just keep it. I probably was going to throw it out anyway.
Wow.
And it just seemed to me that we would have lost something so valuable. And so over the years, I just, you know, would talk with other veterans and say, what'd you do with your old letters from Korea or Vietnam or wherever they served? And so many of them had said the same thing. You know what? I threw them out, or they've got lost in a move. And that was really the inspiration to start this effort to preserve America's war letters.
So where do you get the letters then? Are you going around asking families to donate them, or how do they come to you?
You know, a lot of it's word of mouth. I've worked with veterans groups and done a lot of speaking across the country at schools and, you know, various historical societies and libraries. We really want to grow this collection. This is not the end, even though I'm donating the letters. To me, it's really just the beginning.
I have to say, you're making me realize that I need to go back to my parents' house and retrieve my grandfather's letters from World War II. He was on a boat on his way to Pearl Harbor before it was bombed. And I've seen those letters, but I don't know where they are anymore. I don't know if we're keeping track of them.
Well, and just you mentioned Pearl Harbor. You know, I think we have this perception that letters are these like quaint little artifacts that have sentimental value, but not much more. But the history that's captured in these correspondences is just breathtaking. We have a letter written from inside a ship at Pearl Harbor. And you look at the upper right hand corner, it says December 7th, 1941, USS New Orleans. And the first line, the sailor says, Dear Sis, it's 9:05 a.m. Sunday morning. We've been bombed for an hour. We're trapped here down in the forward engine room. He's literally in the eye of the storm, writing to his sister about what it's like to be there at Pearl Harbor as the bombs are falling.
Anything in there that surprised you? Any patterns that started to emerge?
I think what surprised me the most was that although the language has changed over the generations, but whether it's a letter from Lexington and Concord or an email from Fallujah, the emotions are timeless and very universal. In many ways, they transcend the subject of war. They're really about human nature itself. Hope, grief, courage, reconciliation, all these themes that we can all relate to. But because they're written in these life and death circumstances, they're just much more intense. The love letters are more passionate. A lot of the letters are very philosophical and profound. And it's just incredible what they capture.
Soldiers in today's wars are communicating with family back home through email or Skype. Have you started to think about collecting and archiving email, electronic communication?
These letters and emails really humanize the men and women who serve. They remind us that they're not just soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines. They're somebody's spouse, sibling, child. And I think nobody can tell their stories better than they can.
Andrew Carroll is the director of the Center for American War Letters at Chapman University. You can check out his project at warletters.us. Andrew, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Our show's theme music was written by BJ Lederman. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Rachel Martin.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, helping people build measurably better lives. On the web at Hewlett.org. From the Kresge Foundation, expanding opportunities in America's cities at Kresge.org. From the Wallace Foundation, a source of ideas for improving education and enrichment for children both in and out of school, at wallacefoundation.org. And from the David Geffen Foundation, promoting the arts, culture, and civil engagement. This is NPR.